Turn to Mark chapter 4. We're going to be looking at the parable of the soils. Now, you might be familiar with this as the parable of the sower, but the parable is not really about the sower. It's about the soils. So we're going to talk about the parable of the soils. Let me ask you a question this morning as we begin. How's your heart condition? You might respond by saying, well, I didn't know I had a heart condition. Well, all of us have a heart condition in a spiritual sense, if not in a physical sense. And in our text this morning, Paul describes four different heart conditions. And if you're honest with yourself, you're going to see that one of these heart conditions, one of these soils, you fit into. If you're honest, you're going to fit in one of them. And hopefully you can examine your own life this morning and find out where exactly am I? Who am I? Who is he? You know, how do I fit into this? This parable, I think, really gives us insight into people's response to the gospel. And in the end, it's really a very encouraging text because it assures us that if we are faithful to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, there will be those who will receive it and bear abundant fruit. It's going to happen. Now, I tend to see this parable as Jesus summarizing the state of the nation of Israel as he found it in the previous months that he'd been ministering in the Galilean region. And this is kind of a response that he is getting, and he's declaring what is happening. As we look at the text, I want you to remember the hermeneutical principle, context is king. Whenever you're dealing with the Scriptures, it's not a Ouija board. You can't just pick a verse out and say, this verse means that. It fits into a context. And remember, the chapter and verse divisions were not there in the original. The Greek was just, you know, there wasn't even a break. There wasn't even word breaks. There was no punctuation. It just ran on. They're there. They're very helpful for us in studying and research. But they're not in the original. So this parable of the four soils didn't just come out of the blue. Jesus didn't all of a sudden say, well, let me tell you this neat little story. All right? In our last study, if you remember, at the end of chapter 3, we saw that the religious leaders of Israel, they thought Jesus was of the devil. Now, they couldn't deny the miraculous. I mean, they saw him doing these incredible things. They couldn't deny it. So they said, well, he's definitely doing miracles, but it's of the devil. Can't be of God. We saw that his own family, his mother and his brothers were there, and they thought, he's mad. He's lost it. He needs to be committed. So both the religious leaders and his own family had been watching Jesus. They'd heard him teach with authority, not like the scribes, Mark 1:22 says. They had seen or at least heard of his ministry of healing, of casting out demons. They had seen him heal a leper. They had seen him heal a paralytic. And with all they had seen, they didn't believe that he was who he said he was. They would not believe he was the Messiah. Now, with that in mind, we move into chapter 4. And in this parable, Jesus is explaining what is going on here. Well, how come as the Messiah, he's doing miracles, he's healing people, and yet they're rejecting him? Well, he's going to explain it to us using a parable. And he began to teach again by the sea. Now, remember, in our last passage, he's in Capernaum. He's in the house. He's at the sea. He goes back to Capernaum to the house. Now he goes back to the sea. And such a very large multitude gathered to him that he got into a boat in the sea and sat down, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. So he's back at the sea and he gets into a boat. Now, from Matthew's account, we learn something very important here. We learn that this context is the same day as the religious leaders saying he's of the devil. It's the same day that in Capernaum where his family thought he was mad. Matthew 12:50 says, for whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother and my sister. You recognize that as the context in Matthew, in Mark 3. But then Matthew 13:1 says, on that day, Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea. So Matthew tells us this is happening that very same day. He gets into the boat and he literally gets out of into the boat and pushes off a little bit. He's literally trying to escape being crushed by the crowds. These crowds were huge. Historians say there was probably in the tens of thousands of people coming out. Now, they weren't coming out, remember, because he was such a fantastic teacher. They were coming out because he was healing, he was doing miracles. Everybody wanted to get in on this. So they're out there not necessarily to hear the teaching, but Jesus is making sure this is what you're going to get is the teaching, because he's out in the boat, there on the land. It's a good platform for speaking because the sound carries out across the water. And he's sitting in this boat and he is teaching them. And Mark 4:2 says he was teaching them many things in parables and was saying to them his teachings. Now, I want us to understand that this marks a change in Christ's ministry. Up to this point, he has been teaching very openly. Openly to his disciples, openly to the crowds, openly to the Pharisees. But suddenly, he changes his tactics. Instead of declaring openly the truth in plain language, he begins to teach the masses in parables. Mark 4:34 says, he did not speak to them without a parable, but he was explaining everything privately to his own disciples. So from this point on, he is teaching strictly in parables, and then he is explaining these parables to his own disciples. Now, this is the first occasion that Jesus ever made use of a parable. And it's the parable of the soils. All the gospel writers agree this is the first one he ever told. It comes first in every one of the synoptic accounts. Now, a parable is a placing alongside of for the purpose of comparison. Dodd says this, which is, I think, is a good explanation of a parable. It's at its simplest, it is a metaphor or simile drawn from nature or common life, arresting the hearer by its vividness or strangeness, and leaving the mind in sufficient doubt about its precise application to rouse it into active thought. In other words, you got to think about this. What is he actually saying here? What does this mean? And you have to stop and you have to contemplate, you have to think about what is going on. So here's the parable that he gives him in Mark chapter 4, verse 3 through 9. He says, listen to this. Behold, the sower went out to sow, and it came about that as he was sowing, some seed fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on the rocky ground where it didn't have much soil, and immediately sprang up because it had no depth of soil. And after the sun had risen, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And the other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. And other seeds fell into good soil, and as they grew up and increased, they yielded a crop and produced 30, 60, and 100-fold. And he was saying, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now that's the parable. Now the New American Standard Version says, listen to this. But the Greek is just listen. And this is a key in Mark chapter 4. It shows up 13 times in Mark 4. He either says, listen or hear. He is stressing both at the beginning of the parable, in verse 3, listen to this, and then at the end, let him hear. He wants us to pay attention. He wants us to listen carefully to what he is saying. Now, Jesus' first century audience were all familiar with the problems attendant upon growing food. We simply go down to the food line. We don't even think about this stuff. All right? But to them, this was a very real situation. The hard ground and the very primitive tools that they had made a little impression on it. The seed that could be wasted because it didn't get into the soil and the birds came and ate it. The rocky ground, the weeds. This is stuff that they experience on a daily basis. They were part of a struggle for them to survive, to bring forth food. But the question was, did they realize that they were illustrative of what could hinder them from receiving the all-important message? Now, to us today, this parable is not really that familiar because we have a very different way of farming. But think with me for a moment of a picture of this early farmer. He didn't have a tractor, no John Deere at that time, nothing to plant seed. What he did by hand or through a beast, a burden, a donkey. The method used for planting seed was either he would have a bag of seed around his waist and he would walk and he would just cast the seed as he was walking, or else they would take the bag and they would cut a hole in it and strap it on them, and as they walked, the seed would fall out as they were walking. The seed was scattered. Or they would put it on their animal and walk their animal and the seed just kind of fell out. Now, verse 10, it says, as soon as he was alone, his followers along with the 12 began asking about the parables. In other words, his disciples are like, well, okay, what does that mean? And as soon as they got Jesus a second alone, they said, hey, can you explain that to us? What is about this seed and the guy throwing seed? And, you know, Jesus might have even been looking at a sower along the hillside and pointing to him, behold the sower, and explaining, you know, the different types of soil. And they didn't get it. Now, notice here, it's not just the 12. It was a number of his followers. They recognized that there was a lesson to be learned, and they came seeking more truth. That's a great attitude to have. You know, too often we don't understand something, and we're just like, oh, well. They wanted to know, what does this mean? So they came and they asked. Verse 11 says, and he was saying to them, the ones who were asking the question, to you has been given the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, get everything in parables. Now he says, to you, those ones asking the question, it has been given to understand this. All right? It has been given to you to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God. I think this compares with Jesus' words in John 6:65. And he was saying to them, for this reason I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted him from the Father. He's telling him, to you it's been granted. It's been given to understand this. You, my disciples, you, my followers, have been given the opportunity to understand this truth. Folks, we need to understand that by nature, man is blinded to spiritual truth. It is only as God opens the heart of man to reveal His truth that man will grasp it. Jesus said they have been given the mystery, implying they have been given it by revelation of God. Now, the word translated here